I want you to declare, Lord Jesus, I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. And my heart does perceive what your Spirit is saying to me. Amen? I want to take you to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. And I want to focus on what the Word of God says is a perpetual status or statutes. And it's part of verse 14.
Did you say 23?
Yep. Leviticus 23. And verse 14 says, you must not eat any bread or roasted new grain until the very day you bring this offering to your God. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come wherever you live. So, this is speaking about the Feast of First Fruits, which you would see at verse 9. Then verse 15 talks about the Feast of Weeks. And I want to kind of read this so that you'll get an idea of something I shared with you guys a little while back. And it specifies something that you will find totally different than the Passover. In fact, you can take a peek at verse 6 of the Passover instructions. It says, on the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days, you must not eat bread made without yeast. You must eat bread made without yeast. So in other words, he is really saying unleavened bread for the Passover. But now, go to verse 15. For the day after the Sabbath day, you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring 2 loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour, baked with leaven or yeast, as a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. These wave offerings actually are speaking about our people. That's what it's speaking of. Because bread represents people. And in the first Passover feast, it's speaking about waving before God and consuming only that which has no yeast in it, which represents sin. If you could listen to some of St. Paul's teaching, it tells you, you are to be without sin. And you are without sin because Jesus already took your sin. But now, this particular feast talks about baking 2 breads with yeast and wave them as first fruits to the Lord. Anybody know who they would be? Anybody guess? No. The first fruits to the Lord would truly represent, to me, the beginning of the Feast of Pentecost, when men were accepted for the first time by God without reservation because Jesus had already nailed their sins to the tree. So even if they had sin in them, God was saying, I'm going to accept you without condition because it's not up to what you live like that's going to make me love you. I'm going to love you even if you have yeast in you, even if you have leaven in you, even if you have sin in you. I am going to love you because it's not about you, it's what Jesus has done for you. So you're no longer under condemnation. So that's why that's important. 18. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, each a year old and without defects. 7 is the number of? Thank you. 1 young bull and 2 rams, etc., and it goes on. Then you go to verse 23, which is now. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the first day of the 7th month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly, commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Anybody remember there was a fire that was surrounding us? What do you think God's doing? Did he give you enough visions today to give you a heads up as to who you are and what you are? What are you to him? A sweet aroma. Peggy had some flames behind her. Why? 5. 5 is the number of?
Grace.
So she's covered.
Sure.
Yeah. She may not feel covered, but that doesn't erase the fact that she already is covered. And it's right behind her. When we look at these feasts as traditional gatherings, we're so wrong. They are now celebrations. They are celebrations for us as a people of God, designating what we are now and what they were then. That's why that cloud of witnesses is important. Because we are doing what they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand anybody being accepted by God unless they were absolutely perfect and without any sin in them. Yes or no?
Yes. Yes.
What happened when Jesus laid all our sin on the cross? What did we get?
No sin. We got freedom.
We got freedom. We got set free. Do we live as though we are free?
No.
Okay, look at your neighbor. Say, get with the action.
Get with the action.
God knows.
God knows.
He set you free. Now wake up.
Now wake up.
You are free.
You are free.
Don't talk about your freedom.
Don't talk about your freedom.
Don't cry about your freedom.
Don't cry about your freedom.
It's time you declare it.
It's time you declare it.
I'm free.
I'm free.
And you are free.
And you are free.
And we are free.
And we are free.
And we're surrounded.
And we're surrounded.
By a mighty fire of protection.
By a mighty fire of protection.
All year.
All year.
Not part of the year.
Not part of the year.
All year.
All year.
Amen?
Amen.
So you're catching on now? Why is it important, these little details that seemingly don't make any sense? I remember the first time somebody taught me about, oh my God. St. Paul says, you're not acceptable if you have yeast in you. Well, I don't have any yeast in me, in reality. But do I accept the reality that Jesus took all my sin? Do I receive that truth? On a good day, on a weird day, everything about me is ugly. What deception. Yeah, you're looking at me now. But she's connecting. You're having fun today. So are you. What I'm saying to all of us is this feast represents the feast of freedom. It's the declaration of freedom. It's really saying Jesus took the whole package of darkness and literally obliterated by his light and by his blood. Okay, I wasn't going to go there, but this morning I had to go to the bathroom. And you have to sit on the throne in order to be a king for a little while. That's how kings are formed, recognizing what comes out the other end, right? So, I bent down to go get some paper because I needed some help, and a drip fell, and I had a nosebleed. So now the blood is coming out as dark as that carpet area. And I mean, it's coming so fast, and I'm trying to get the toilet paper to come off, and it's stuck. And the blood is just dripping and dripping. And so finally, I got Kleenex in back of me, and there was plenty of paper there, but I was just moving. It was dripping too fast. And I'm praying, and I heard, just tell it to stop. And so I did. But of course, you know, you tell it to stop and then the enemy says, look, it's still leaking. And it's dripping and it's dripping. And now I've got a toilet full of blood. Finally, I get up. I took 3-4 Kleenex and I held it to my nose and prayed in the spirit. And it finally subsided. Well, now I've still got blood all over the floor. Okay? So obviously, what do? Get on your hands and knees, take some cold water, take some more Kleenex, and cleaned it all up. I wiped my hand, I had some on my arm, I had some on my watch, it was everywhere. It was dripping a lot. So that was okay, I cleaned everything up, cleaned the toilet, it had sprinkled on the toilet itself, on the heating unit, anyway, it was wonderful. I enjoyed myself. Okay, cleaned it all up, and I said, thank you, Jesus, and my nose was fine. Finished doing what the cleanup needed to do, you know, put on a little bit of smelly stuff, and off I went to comb the hair and go into the bedroom, and now I'm going to put on my socks. And I do the right foot first, and that was fine. I looked at the left foot and it's sprinkled with blood. And I heard, put the stocking on anyway. Mm. And I said, see reasoning? What does reasoning do? Go clean up, go wash up with cold water, get it off your foot, cover it. And it was like instruction. Mm. Not, you know, you do whatever you want. Cover it. Yes, Lord. So I covered it. And as I'm pulling the stocking over, I mean, it's all little sprinkles, you know. It's not a massive amount, but it's all little sprinkles. He said, when I say I've sprinkled you with my blood, what are you looking at? Are you going to focus on the foot or are you going to focus on the sprinkles? And I said, yes, God, the sprinkles are mine. Ever sprinkling me, ever cleansing me, 1 John. Ever washing away what is ugly in me. I'm not going to show you my foot. But what I am saying is, that blood was not just mine, it was some of his too, because we're one. You don't need to get up, just respond. For I have sprinkled you with my blood. And it's not just the pastor that's clean. I declare you clean everywhere, spirit, soul, and body. And you are holy unto me, says the Lord. And you shall not look at yourself as unsprinkled from this day forward, for I have declared you holy in my sight, and you are holy. Amen.
Thank you.
And amen.
Amen.
And I love you.
And I love you too.
That's all the Lord's fault, you know. Why am I picking on Sammy? Because she deserves to be picked on once in a while. Amen? Because you need to have a new sight, a new vision today for the new year. So close your eyes, lift your hands to him. Say 5777. I am going to declare that I am holy,
that I am
righteous by faith in what Jesus did. On that tree for me. I declare my freedom. I declare it now.
I decree it to myself.
Not with attitude,
but with fortitude.
I am free.
I am free.
I am righteous.
I am righteous.
I am holy.
I am holy.
And I am wonderfully made.
And I am wonderfully made.
And my Heavenly Father is happy with me.
And my Heavenly Father is happy with me.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I am free.
I am free.
You got it. That's it. That's all she wrote.